thank you to everybody, all my coaches that were here, the general manager, especially my teammates. We're brothers.
So it's what a game. It was a lot of fun.
The moment to mess, natural wise. Galit galt man at preclusion.
Take it slow, let it go, roll down all the windows.
This is a piece of my heart, being here, the people here, I love you guys.
Hello, Basket News viewers. I have today a very, very special guest. I will not be calm to say that this is one of the best foreign players that ever played in Lithuania. Chuck Aitzen. Is this a good way to present you?
I know that we had a lot of good things happen when I was here, and I appreciate what you said. That's very nice.
How do you feel in Vilnius after all these years? This is your first time, or not? Maybe what you have been here with Unix or something.
Yeah, but that was so quick. This is actually a visit, so it's very comfortable. Feel very good being here, and it's been very warm regards from everybody too. So it's been great.
When you don't see a person for a lot of time, because we don't see you on social media, we don't see you on the internet. What are you occupied with? What do you do in your daily life right now? Can you tell a little bit more, not where you're living, I guess, but what is your daily life?
Well, daily life is pretty much, helping raise my 15-year-old twins. So getting them to and from different practices that they're doing, and just really being a dad. Also help with, my father's a basketball coach in the States, so I help him with his team also. So I don't coach.
Who is he coaching?
I don't coach, but I like to help the kids.
What is your father coaching?
High school basketball in South Carolina. So he was actually my coach, so now he coaches his grandson. So it's kind of a nice thing.
So as I understand, your children are also occupied with sports. What kind of sports are they into?
Basketball for my son, which is interesting because that's only been in the last couple of years. Before that, we didn't want to push him into anything, and he's really fallen in love with basketball right now. So that's what he does. And my daughter just absolutely is fanatical about volleyball. So she's having a lot of fun with that, and she's really getting after it.
Because I know your wife played volleyball, yeah. You played basketball, so the apple didn't fall off from the tree.
And it's funny because we tried to push the apple far away from the tree because, we know about, the expectations of that for our kids. But somehow, that's just something that they love.
What does your son say watching those highlights of Chuck Aitzen being in Rytas, being in Barcelona, Maccabi?
We've actually kept it pretty... they really don't know a lot about my life over here. It's been pretty interesting. This is the first time they've really gotten to see a little bit of what it was like. They know I played, obviously, but they don't know the extent of what it's like to play basketball in Europe. So this has been really interesting for them too to see.
The other thing about you, you don't have a phone. This is the biggest legend about Chuck Aitzen, that he didn't have a phone in 08, 09. He doesn't have a phone now.
That is a misconception. I've always had a phone, and it's always for emergencies. That doesn't mean I'm on the phone.
Okay.
It just, if I'm away from my wife or kids and something happens, they have to be able to get in touch with me. They can get in touch with me, but... Yeah, you will not see me on Instagram, Facebook, any of the...
But why? Why do you have this...
I don't know. It just has to do with how I was raised a little bit. You know, privacy is very important for me. And I don't know. It's, you know, obviously my wife has it and my kids will have it. So I'm not against it, but just always been kind of a private person.
I was talking to Martinas Gecevičius, and he told me that you bought a phone when you were in Vilnius after your children were born in the U.S. Yeah,
yeah, I had to be able to get in touch with them back home. You know, before that, you got to think it's 15 years ago. We had Skype. There are different ways to stay in touch.
Yeah, sorry, I will interrupt. They told me about Skype, about everything, and they told me that they were laughing at you at the locker room because at that time there were pretty bigger phones, let's say, and you bought this with buttons, let's say.
Yeah, yeah, just the cheapest thing that worked. You know, it never really, it's not something I ever really thought about or cared about. I will say that now having an iPhone, I know why they love them, you know, but, you know, as long as I can get in touch with my family, I was never, you know, never too worried.
How much has Vilnius changed since your time?
It's pretty interesting. For us, it has and it hasn't, and I don't know if that makes sense. Like, everything seems exactly the same, but then you see different things about it. Obviously, it's grown. It definitely feels bigger. But living in the old town section and being here, that all feels very similar because not a lot can change in this area. But just driving to the arena and being around, you know, you see buildings that weren't there. You see, so basically just a growth. It's really becoming a big city.
15 years of time for a club like Rytas is really, really long. Mm-hmm. And you see that the organization has changed a lot since then. Of course, when you were, they were playing in the EuroLeague. Now they are playing, let's say, in other tournaments, in the Champions League. What did you find out through these a few days about Rytas, how it has changed? What do you think about the fan culture that you saw yesterday in the ceremony?
It... You know, I know some things are cyclical. You know, there's ups and downs in your team. So I know that, you know, there might have been some downs, but the trajectory I saw of where the team's going and you know, talking with Yoma, just I think it's in a good place. And I think that you're going to see the team continue to rise and get back to a bit of its glory. And it's interesting. The arena... You know, when you play in Europe, you're used to having a group of people like that, and they put them off, you know, they have their own little section in the arena, you know, not to bother most people. Exactly. They get, you know, a section kind of, and that's their thing. So to walk into a gym and see the whole gym involved with that kind of passion is quite a, you know, home field advantage. I don't know if you know this saying, but like it is definitely be tough to play against, and it would be awesome to play with. So it was very cool.
I think your son would be more familiar with the NBA environment, what they see in the NBA arenas. What did they think about Jeep Arena?
Well, you know, at first you watch them and their eyes are a little, you know, it's different. And by the end, he's clapping, and you know, like you see, he's like, okay. So you could definitely see that there's a mood and a feeling in the arena, and you can get swept up in it. And I think that's great. That's passion.
How much basketball do you still watch? Is it NBA? Is it EuroLeague? Do you even watch basketball?
I do. I love basketball. I was just talking to my wife. My son started playing AAU, and that's kind of like youth basketball, not with a school. And I can go to a gym and watch random games all day long. I just love basketball. I love to watch it. So if there's a game on, the equivalent would be, you know, if there's fourth division Lithuanian team playing somewhere, I'll probably watch.
Wow.
That's how much I love it.
We're watching Chuck Aitzen from his time in Strasbourg team and yeah. his game against Lietuvos Rytas. What do you think about this game?
This was a lot of fun for me because I was getting to play against Marijonas Petrovicius, who I played with in college. So for 4 years I played with him, and this is the first time I got to see him after that. So I was really excited to get to play against Rytas.
But you were good in that game. You were going against Rytas.
Yeah, it was, at this point, just trying to make a name for myself because this is a little bit before, you know, people knew who I was.
Is it fun to remember these kind of things?
I like that because that's Yoma giving me an elbow.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that moment because a year after, your teammates mm-hmm. and year before, he's elbowing you.
That's Yoma. And I love him to death. Like he's one of those players that you love to have as a teammate and you really do not like to play against. So
but there was these guys, Steponas Babrauskas, Jomantas, yeah. Donatas Zavatskas, where those elbows were breakfast for them.
They could definitely get under the skin of anybody they played with.
After this video, like a natural question, how did that move to Lietuvos Rytas happen in the summer of 2007?
Yeah, it was fairly quickly. Alexander Trifunovic was coach at the time.
Trifunovic.
Yeah, and he, I got a phone call from him, and he was a tall guard, and so he really liked my game, and he, you know, just laid out how he wanted me to play for Rytas, and I liked what he was selling. And so from then it was pretty quick. We got the GM and the president and everybody involved, and it was pretty quick.
And that first season with Rytas, the stats are pretty good, 12.2 points, 13.2 efficiency. But how did it happen that even after when Rytas went back to EuroCup, you still stay and... Of course, there was, I guess, some offers at that time.
Yeah. I definitely thought I was going to be balled out. I still had a year contract, but it was kind of the time when there was financial difficulty in Europe. So I didn't know that I'd stay with the club, but I ended up staying. And the first year I was in Rytas, kind of the things I told you, the coach told me he would let me do, I kind of didn't get to do. So I was more of a... stay in the corner, shoot threes.
Small forward. As I remember, you were just a
small forward. And we had an unbelievable point guard at that time named Hollis Price, who kind of ran the show and the ball was in his hands a lot. So, you know, to me, statistically, that season, I'm actually more proud of a little bit than the season I had that was so big because the amount of times I touched the ball, you know, and what I did with those moments was actually pretty big for me. So
actually, some people might not remember that Rytas that year finished their group in EuroLeague first.
Yeah, in a really good group. We really had a nice team. It kind of all fell apart a little bit at the worst time. And
there were injuries, as I remember. Injuries. Nielsen, Petrajev just went out with injuries.
Yeah, and one thing that hurt that year is we just couldn't beat Zagiris. You know, it hurt the team's confidence. And it's something that I was very unhappy with. that actually gave me a lot of... for the next season, remembering how that felt.
In the off season, Rytas changed the coach. Trifunovic went out, and then came Antanas Sireika, who we can say is a Lithuanian legend. Can you compare a young Serbian coach with a Lithuanian legend, but with this softer mentality?
Yeah, I think when you say soft, it comes off as maybe not as tough, but I will tell you, Sirica, he's tough.
Okay.
He's tough. He knows what he's doing. And
what tough moments do you remember about Sirica?
just that we just were this close to being really good. And I hate that he didn't get to finish the year with us, because I had a lot of fun playing for him, enjoyed him as a coach, and really felt bad when he had to step away from the team, because, you know, I feel like the team was going in the right direction, but just needed something else.
I don't remember this, but who changed you to point guard position? Was it Sireka or was it Kurtinaitis? Because both of them are saying that I have done that.
It is. They both do take credit for that. It is. I'm not sure. We had a point guard, a guy named Brinko Milosavljevic, and he started the season with us, and he was the point guard. And I just don't know that it was clicking with the team. And I think you can go back to the Golden State preseason game, and I moved to point guard there, and Coach Sireka was, you know, the coach at that time. So I do think there were plans to make the move, but I don't know. I know that day one with Coach Kurtinaitis, I was very, you are the point guard. So I know that both take credit, and they could both be right. I don't know. Like, it's kind of a weird kind of thing.
What do you think about Coach Kurtinaitis? That coaching change was after a loss to Žalgiris in December. As I've looked into results, they weren't that bad, as we discussed. Yeah, what do you think about Coach Kurtinaitis in general? What did he give the team that after that you lifted 5 trophies?
Yeah, I can't say enough about Coach Kurtinaitis. I know what he brought to that team was kind of a toughness and kind of just a swagger. I don't know this word, like walking into the gym and thinking you're the best team in the gym every time you went to play somewhere.
So it was more a mental, a psychological thing.
I think so. Mentally, and this goes for the practices were so hard with him when he first came that, I felt like the games were a walk in the park. The team really got after it when he came, because I think some guys were nervous about, you know, will they be cut, playing time, all the things that happen when there's a coaching change. And when he came in, the mindset of that team was very hungry, and he pushed all the right buttons. So I can't say enough about him. He truly was one of the only coaches other than my dad that gave me the freedom. My whole career never had the freedom that I had with him. So it was, if I could play for him for my whole career, I probably would have, if it had worked out.
You're saying these really nice words about Kurtinaitis. I was wondering how much in contact you were with this Ritas family through these years.
Only with Marianis, because his wife and my wife played volleyball together in college, and then we played basketball together. So we do have a relationship. But other than that, it's hard because I am the private the way that I am. One of the bad things I do is I've had some unbelievable teammates over the course of my career, and you know, I'm terrible at staying in touch. But I've had guys, you know, like brothers to me, and it's just kind of like 15 years, you know, time just kind of slips away.
We've mentioned Hollis Price, we're mentioning you a lot. We have to mention Marijonas, because it was amazing 2 years for him in the EuroLeague, in the EuroCup. He was the EuroCup Finals MVP, yeah, as I remember. And everyone was talking about this connection, the point guard-center connection. Even Kurtinaitis said that you have to build your team to have a good point guard, a good center, and then everybody comes else around. What can you say about playing with Marijonas in that season?
Let's see. Having known him in college, if the coach asked him to run through a wall, he'd run through a wall. Like, I can't.
He's strong as hell.
Yeah, and his mindset is to just outwork you and really really probably one of the, yeah, probably the best teammate I ever had as far as doing whatever needed to be done to win a game. And it was nice having him in the pick and roll because I never worried about not being open after the screen. He was, you know, and defensively he could play. And really all of that to say that he's an amazing person too, a really good guy. So he's one of the reasons definitely that we even looked at Redis to begin with to play, because, you know, I had some other offers that were pretty enticing too at the time. And he was a major selling point on why I ended up in Lithuania.
We have to mention, of course, Jonas Wijnauskas, because the team GM. Yeah. In general, what kind of person he is? How do you remember him? I can say to you, I don't know if you know, but right now he is the general manager of an NKL team.
Yeah, I was talking to Yoman. He said, you know, he's having more success. So I'll always remember him as somebody that had an amazing amount of confidence in my game, even when I was kind of struggling a little bit at times. And to have that from your president, you know, at the time, pretty amazing. And I do know he has issues. I'm not, you know, he's had his issues, but I had a great experience with him, let's say. So, yeah, I enjoyed my time with him here.
Was it unusual to see three coaches in 2 years? Was it unusual for you?
Yeah, I had a coaching change in college. So our head coach got fired halfway through. So it wasn't something that, you know, was foreign for me. But in-season coaching changes are tough. As Minda. Minda. So, you know, they can go two ways. You can either get really good or the team can just fall apart again. So I thought that Rytas did an unbelievable job with that.
Yes, you've mentioned that Rytas that season, they in the 08-09 season, they finished without Matthew Nielsen. Branko left. And you were left alone with Milko Bielica as the only foreigners. How did you react? Because there were a lot of rumors, I remember at that time, that maybe Chuck Aitzen is the next one who will leave Rytas because the financial situation was tense.
Yeah, there was about a week where, you know, we had our bags packed. We thought we were going somewhere. And it was pretty tough on my wife to kind of, cause we had, you know, little kids at the time, they were babies. So the not knowing about what would happen there, was interesting. And talking about Jonas, he made an investment in me, you know, I'd end up having a good season and it ended up working out for him.
As I'm listening to you, you are extremely a family guy all around, no matter money. Even when I talked with Steponas, with Martinez, they always mentioned that Czech is the most calmest dude in the world. You cannot remember any stories with him. But can you just talk a little bit more about this, your look at basketball, not through the money perspective?
Yeah. I think if only one time in my career did I look and say I need to make the money. Every time I made a decision, it was through the lens of I've got to listen to the coach, GM. They need to tell me what they need from me because that's how I can best be utilized in a situation. You know, if I get there and they tell me, you know, something different than what they've told me to get me there, I've never enjoyed that. But I love basketball. Still play. You know, it'll be something I do when I'm old. Can't move. I'll still try to get out there and play. So it for me, it's just the greatest sport ever.
Bobrauskas asked me to ask you one question. He told me, ask Czech, how was the parties with Ritas?
So I don't go out much at that time, every now and then, but when you're with a team and you do the things that we did, you do have to celebrate. So I will say hanging out with him, Yoma, Minda that night was a bad night. It was a lot of fun, but that's not one of my better better nights.
Let's talk a little bit more about those Lithuanians, about Bobrauskas, Jomantas, Gecevičius, Lukauskis. What are they like off the court in the locker room? Because they always talk about, okay, Chuck comes to the practice, he has just one shirt, he comes in, comes out, there's no a lot of talk. Of course, in the practice, sometimes he gets nervous for something, but nothing really special. How did you look at them in the practice, in the locker room?
It was different. After, you know, a few of the guys left, you know, there is a brotherhood and a camaraderie with Lithuanian players that's almost different than most places too, because the country is so small. They all know each other. They've all played against each other since they were, you know, young. So they know each other. So you do feel like an outsider to a little, you know, to an extent. But I think, again, somebody like Marijonas did an unbelievable job integrating me, bringing me in, and really translating things when I needed to know some things, or helping me when a joke or something was said so that I can be involved. And everybody did a really good job of kind of making me feel very, very welcome. So that team, I tell people, it was special, very close.
How did you remember the fan support? At that time, Rytas played way more games in Siemens Arena, now it is called other name. How did you remember what was like to have this bond with the Rytas fans?
Yeah, I think Lithuania is a basketball place. I think I love how much people love the game here, but also understand the game. That's rare. You go to some countries, they think they love their team. They don't. not the way that it's you're born in it. And so the fan support while I was here was unbelievable. And I know the new arena, or the old arena, new name. When you played a EuroLeague game in there or EuroCup game in there, it was electric. So it was a lot of fun at that time.
Let's go back to EuroCup final eight in Turin. How do you remember the team when you were going in that plane? What was your mindset? Because you left Lithuania without any big expectations. Everybody knew who were the favorites.
I think knowing that team, sitting on that plane, there was a confidence there that, you know, why not? Why not us? You know, I knew we needed to get through the first game. I think it was Benetton. I knew if we beat them, there'd just be like, why not? I mean, we could make a run. And I think the team was ready for that.
Let's go back to the final with Khimki. At the third quarter, you had a minus 13 lead, and you're going up against these guys like Maciej Lampek, Kelly McCarty, Timofey Mozgov. Where do you find the strength to come back and win a title like that?
It is impressive. I know I was, and I've told a couple people this, the Hema Farm game, the game before, I was exhausted. They had a guy guard me the whole time, full court. So going into the last game, I was really kind of struggling. So the way that we played, the way that Marionis kind of carried us, there are big moments from so many players in that game. It was such a team win. Like, I couldn't be more proud of everybody on that team. And it was a special win.
Who would be your biggest highlight of that game? For me, personally, Jomantas block to Lampe.
Unbelievable. But in that same time period, I was sitting out because I had to have a break. And Yoma made like two. He made a little jumper at the foul line, and I think he hit a three-pointer. I really think that me being out, us kind of making a run on our own, like, those were the big moments for me. I really think Yoma stepped up in that game and was just so valuable.
Jomantas hitting a three was I guess some kind of a celebration for all the team.
So rare. And I know, I don't know if you'll talk about this, but later in the LKL, he hits just one of the biggest threes.
We will talk about that. We will talk about that.
So for me, like, it's just amazing. Big moments. And also me as an American understanding it's okay to give these guys the ball. They can make plays. Because a lot of Americans, when they're over here, they want to hold it and make the play themselves. So I thought, I think that Kimke game was the ultimate team basketball win.
You said one thing. Actually, it is a bit underrated. You played in the whole season 30, 35 minutes, sometimes without substitutions. How tiring was that season?
Extremely. And I know even Jonas, because he knew I had young kids, he would have us stay at hotels sometimes, even when we were at home, just because he knew we needed, especially me, I needed some sleep. And so there was, I'm not sure how much the coaches or everybody talked about it, but I was fried.
Okay, let's watch some episodes.
This is the cup. Is that right?
Yes.
LKF cup. So right here, I knew we get that back door. We need a stop. And the worst player for us to get a shot in the game got a shot. I definitely thought this shot was going in. And we were going to be down, I think, 4 at the time.
Yeah.
So right
this
there.
This is the shot.
Right there, I thought, okay, all right,
but
we have
now,
a chance.
Now the commentator is saying that Rietas has a chance.
Yeah. They've been over-helping a little bit, so I just wanted to draw the defense and get the best shot we could. And for me, this is when the season became the season. Beating Žalgiris at that time, the way we did right there, this is when this is how we started the trajectory up.
Tell me, was the anger for Žalgiris genuine when you say that you lost lost to them in last season lot of times?
Anger is kind of a tough word, but it is, as a competitor, as somebody that plays, you know, when you get beat and the way we got beat, yeah. Even this one, I thought might go in.
Because he hit like 8
threes.
He
was dialed in that night. So for me, like this was the biggest moment of the season. This kind of started everything.
This was one of the three game winners that we are going to talk about. And not one of them you were on the finishing end. You were the passing one. The first one was this. The second in the Euro Cup final when you passed to Babrauskas and he hit the free plus 6. And, of course, the Jomantas shot.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've watched The Last Dance, but Michael Jordan, like, did similar things.
Right.
Like passing to John Paxson, Steve Kerr. So this is about trust your teammates?
Yeah, absolutely. And LeBron James the same way. He's going to make the right play in the moment. That's the right play. I could have forced a shot up. I could have. But that's the right play. And Minda, I trusted Minda all year. So this is nothing. but it was such a big shot.
I didn't check it because I'm pretty sure this is your best career game. 41 points, 58 efficiency, and when you look at it, the shooting percentages, 12 out of 14 two-pointers, 4 out of 6 three-pointers, 5 out of 6 free throws.
Yeah, I have a couple 40-point games, but none with the other, you know, the assist and the rebounds all the same.
8 rebounds, 8 assists.
Yeah, this it was just one of those games where obviously right there I dribble off my foot and get the ball back and just feel like I can shoot.
At this point, it feels that this man is unstoppable because wherever you gave him the ball, he's going to score.
Yeah, it did feel like that. And this was different because in the other games, you know, I'd have maybe 15, 6, 5 in that niche. But, you know, to come out and score.
Do you feel the frustration from the enemy at this kind of game?
I don't usually... I'm usually so focused on what I'm doing. I don't know exactly what, but I did feel bad a little bit for Zukauskas, the center.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he's unbelievable career, and it was kind of toward the end, and they were asking him to play a defense that very hard, you know. So other than that, no, it was just – one of those nights.
The commentator said that Chuck ate some commentary is not needed. This is in Lithuanian. I don't know. Have you heard about this press conference? Some rumors?
He actually was an assistant coach for me in Unix. So I've talked to him a little bit about this. And I've never heard this part of it, though. So they played a drop coverage. You know, that didn't work. Then they tried to double, and that wasn't working that night. Later on in the series, in the LKF, they do a much better job, you know, putting a small guard on me to make me work bringing the ball up. So he learned from this.
Ir aš galiu pasakyti, kad tuo momentu mes neturim vaistų. Galit kalt mane prie kryžiaus.
This nail me to cross is like, I don't know, a song in Lithuania. What do you think about this mentality of the coach?
I know that night it had to be tough for him.
This was after the first game of LKL final you scored 30 points and 38 efficiency.
Yeah, I know. They made me work. he might think it looked easy, but it was very difficult. And yeah.
This was game 3 of LKL Finals. Can you lip read?
I'm not proud of this one. You know, I pride myself on, you know, trying to keep it together. But I was so tired, and I just felt like I was beat around in this game, and the whistle just wasn't going my way. And so, you know, I even apologized to the referee later on for those actions. So, but that was a time and a moment where I just had enough. You know, you can ask my wife outside of the basketball court. You'll find me like this. I'm pretty laid back, but a switch does go off when I'm on the court. And, you know, I have moments like this. You know, that's part of it. But I think you have to play with an edge. I think that's when you get your best basketball, is when you're right below a line of maybe crossing a line or so. Yeah. I think they've lost a little bit of, you know, that right on top of you feeling. It's hot in there. It's
5K attendance.
Yeah, and the fans are right on you. And it's loud. And, you know, their new arena is very nice. I played in there with Barcelona. You know, I don't take anything away from making that move. But I think for a hostile environment, basketball wise, I think they've lost a little bit because that was a difficult place to play in.
And what can you say about that Žalgiris core? Jankūnas, Mačiulis, yeah. They're also elbowing.
Yeah. So I really disliked them for a while. And then I actually got to know them a little bit. And that's always the when you meet somebody outside of the court.
When did you get to know
them? Kalnaitis played for Kuban when I was in Russia. And I talked to Mačiulis a couple of times. They're just, you know, Jankūnas, seen him. They're just really good guys.
Jankūnas is now the president of Žalgiris.
Yeah, I know. I can't believe that. But I can. He played there for so long. He's, you know. But, you know, you when you're playing against Žalgiris, all you see is, you know, an enemy.
This is what I talked about. You never, you trust your teammates.
Yeah.
And when Artūras Jomantas hits that kind of shot, you were shocked, I guess.
Shocked? I mean, obviously, anybody that makes that shot, it's an unbelievable shot. It's interesting because I think that just takes it to overtime, right?
But yes.
You can see this game is over. That shot, we really didn't even have to walk onto the court. Žalgiris was beat.
I was in the arena that game. I was 9 years old at that time. You made my day.
I think it's the loudest I've ever heard any arena I've played in.
After that shot?
Yeah, I think it was deafening. I think it was such a surprise, even to our fan base, Joma hitting, not just the three, but how far he was away from the three-point line is just an incredible shot. And I think the surprise with the it was amazing time to be there.
Do you know this picture?
Yeah. I'm surprised. I'm surprised it wasn't worse. he played that's the way he played, and that's the way he that's the way he lives.
You have to have some balls to throw around these in Kauna Sports Hall.
I know that that was just the emotion of it all, like just the verbal abuse he'd probably been taking. He just, you know, that's how he felt at that time. And, you know, probably a lot more of the players wanted to do it too, but, you know, a little more laid back. But that is, that's definitely a feeling.
What was the celebration after the final?
So after this game, probably because of this, we had to, I don't know if you guys know this, we had to drive through a park because they were throwing bottles and shaking the bus. And it was pretty.
You were scared?
Scared, not scared, but pretty tense. Like if we stayed around longer, it could have got worse. So, you know, we're really just laughing about the whole thing, even in the bus, even with bottles hitting the bus. So that was some people like to win on their home court. That gives them, you know, you celebrate at your arena with your fans. There's something special about winning in the opponent's arena and, you know, seeing their faces.
Okay. How would you recap your whole time in Rytas? What were the, I don't know, top five things about, I don't know if you can name them right quickly, but what would be the summary of your time in Rytas?
I think I came here and, you know, I would say I was older, you know, 27, 28 when I got here, but I still think I was still just a boy. I think I left Rytas a man, learned how to, you know, just felt older and wiser after being here. I think it was the perfect fit for me at the time. And honestly, and this is, if it hadn't have been for so much practice, I would have probably signed more. But at the time, I was just so tired. I just couldn't see myself doing, because we got after it in practice. And it's one of the reasons I signed with Maccabi is, you know, they said, you know, we'll practice maybe twice a day, but it won't be as long as what you've been doing.
So Kurtonaitis is responsible that we didn't have Aitson for many years?
I wouldn't say responsible. I think any coach that came in at that time, that's how you coached. The year before, I think we practiced more, you know, the Serbian coach. I think that's just how it was. I just didn't think if I wanted to have a longer career, and at this point I'm thinking of myself as, you know, being able to provide for my family, I needed to go somewhere where my body wouldn't break down. And no, but, you know, I absolutely loved my time here. And just played the best basketball in my career and just really, really enjoyed everything about it.
Why did you end your career? I don't know if it's early, but yeah. 34, 35?
Yeah, I actually get this question quite a bit. I spent my last 2 years in Russia and I didn't have my family. I left them in the States because it was hard living. But I knew that if I played 2 more years in Russia, I could probably retire comfortably. And, you know, I was okay with that. So I definitely probably left 3 or 4 years on the table. You know, I could have played much longer. I was feeling good. But I needed to get home and kind of get my life started in the States with my family. Kids were starting school. And that's pretty much why I made the decision. Redis fans and players and everybody, I think just the most success. Raise trophies, play good basketball. Fans always.
Trophies for Redis at this time is pretty rare. It isn't that often in your time.
That's what I wish, though, because I feel like these fans deserve it. You know, being in that game last night, seeing the passion, you're trending in the right way. And, you know, just to be as successful as this team can be, and that's what I wish for them.
Will we see you again in Lithuania?
We'll probably have some kind of reunion at some point, I imagine, where they try to get everybody together. And I'll for sure be back for that.
Maybe your son will play for Rytas.
We'll see. He's doing
but great. But Žalgiris is not an option for you.
It would have to be the right offer, that's for sure.
Okay, so thank you, Chuck. Thank you, viewers. I lost a bit of my voice, but I guess we coped pretty well. It was really nice meeting you, actually.
Yeah, it's great meeting you, and you did a great job. This is it's a good interview.
Thank you.